Well, good morning. Peace be with you. Can you believe that it's actually Christmas Day? How fast do they come around? Is there two or three a year? It's like we're in the middle of the year and all of a sudden it's Christmas Day. I remember my grandfather many years ago telling me that as you get older, days go faster, and I didn't believe him. Boy, I believe him now. I don't know about you, but I always feel unprepared for today. Always sort of catches me off guard, even though I had 12 months' notice that it was coming, but it seems to still get me. For the last few weeks, we've been doing a series here at Seeds called The Arrival. And essentially what we've been looking at is those people who've gathered around the cradle and what the arrival of Jesus actually meant for them. From that we're able to draw what it also means for us in its simplicity and in its complexity. Mary showed us about trusting belief in God, Joseph about doing what you're asked to without making a big fuss, the shepherds rejoiced in the birth, the magi, the famous kings revealed how they could see what no one else could see, what was going on. And when you sit with these narratives, you realize there are a lot of things that we can learn from these ancient stories, and there's things that we can learn that we've never even realized, and there's more yet to be unpacked and discovered and to be thought about. The period of that we call Advent, which is the four Sundays right before Christmas Day, is essentially known as a period of waiting. And while we might have been caught off guard as adults, and while the day has dawned quicker than what we actually been prepared for, certainly our kids weren't. And they've been waiting and waiting for today to come, and over the last few weeks since school finished, probably felt like years for them. If you've got little kids in your house, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But for most of us, it's come pretty fast, and here it is, ready or not, Christmas Day. I visited Marion Shopping Centre a few years ago, and I did it just a few days before Christmas. I didn't do it this year. I learned my lesson from that other year. I was absolutely staggered at the amount of people who are loaded down with gifts just hours, just the day before Christmas. It's like they've put off things and are now in a frantic rush to buy something, to buy anything, just as long as they had a gift. But that period is done. It's here. Come what may, the moment is at hand. It is Christmas Day. Soon we'll enjoy family lunches and times with friends. We're no longer talking about the arrival, but about the arrived. Christmas is here. Praise God. I love that reading from Luke chapter 2, which was brought to us in two parts. And we heard about it, Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem and the baby Jesus being born. The shepherds are stunned at the angels in the sky, and they recover from the shock in time to go and journey towards and find this little spot, this little stable, this back shed where this king of the world has been born. It's the last line that I've been pondering this week as I've prepared for this morning, and I want to reread it to you from verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which is just as they had been told about. Just as they had been told about. I like that line because it tells me something really significant, really theological, it tells me something really profound, that God is actually good for His word. God can make true on His promises. God can predict something and it actually comes to pass. He can make it happen. That's what the arrival is all about. God being faithful to His word and bringing something into being that He spoke long ago about. And yet, here it is. Comes to full fruition. We're not talking about the arrival, but the arrived, God delivering on His promises. If you pardon the pun on that one, if you got it. What's even more shocking for us is that He comes to His promises now. And that He's good for His promises even as we sit here, even as we are here today celebrating Christmas 2016. I've told this story before, but I want to tell it again, because it tells of God's promises and God's faithfulness and God's deliverance and God being good on His word. I've been prompted by this story by the pastoral piecing of the person who was in this story, a lady missionary doctor called Helen Rosevere. And it's worth me telling you because her words are profound. Let me read it to you in her own words. One night in Central Africa, I'd worked hard to help a mother in the labour ward, but despite of all that we could do, she died. And she left behind a tiny premature baby and a crying two-year-old daughter. We would have difficulty keeping the baby alive. We had no incubator, we had no electricity to run an incubator, and no special feeding facilities. Although we lived on the equator, nights were often chilly, and the drafts would often claim infant lives. A student midwife went for the box we had for such babies and for the cotton wool for the baby to be wrapped in. Another went to stoke the fire and to fill a hot water bottle. She came back shortly in great distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst. As you know, rubber perishes easily in tropical climates. "It's our last hot water bottle," said the nurse through tears. As in the West, it's no good crying over spilled milk, so in Central Africa, it might be considered no good crying over a hot water bottle. They don't grow on trees. They're no chemists. We can access another one. And all right, I said, well, put the baby as near to the fire as you can safely do so. Sleep between the baby and the door and keep it free from drafts. Your job, she said to the nurse, is to keep this baby warm. The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with many of the orphan children who chose to gather with me. And I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about, and including I told them about this little premature baby. And I explained the problem about us keeping the baby warm enough, mentioning the hot water bottle. The baby could so easily die if it got chilled, and I also told them about the two-year-old sister crying because her mother had died. And during the prayer time, one 10-year-old girl, a girl by the name of Ruth, prayed with the usual blunt consciousness of African children. She said, "Please God, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow. The baby will be dead. So please send it this afternoon." And while I gasped inwardly at the audacity of the prayer, she added as a way of corollary, "And while you're at it, God, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so that she knows that you really love her?" As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen to such a prayer? I didn't believe that God could do this. Oh, yes, I know that He can do everything. The Bible says so. But there are limits, aren't there? The only way that God could answer this particular prayer would be by sending a parcel from my homeland. And I'd been in Africa for almost 4 years at that time, and I'd never received a parcel from home. Anyway, if anyone did send a parcel, who'd put in a hot water bottle to the equator? Halfway through the afternoon, while I was teaching in the nurses' training school, a message was sent that there was a car at my front door. And by the time I reached home, the car had gone, but there on the veranda was a large 22-pound parcel. I felt tears pricking my eyes, and I could not open the parcel alone, so I sent for the orphan children, and together we pulled off the string, carefully undoing each knot. We folded the paper, taking care not to tear it unduly. Excitement was mounting. Some 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were focused on this large cardboard box. From the top, I lifted out a brightly coloured knitted jerseys. Eyes sparkled as I gave them out. There were knitted bandages for the leprosy patients, and the children began to look a little bored. Next came a box of mixed sultanas and raisins. That would make a nice batch of buns for the weekend. And as I put my hand in again, I felt it. Could it really be? I gasped and pulled it out. A brand new hot water bottle. And I cried. I'd not ask God to send it. I'd not truly believe that He could. Ruth was in the front row of the children, and she rushed forward crying out, "If God has sent the bottle, He must have sent a doll as well." Rummaging down to the bottom of the box, she pulled out the small, beautifully dressed doll. Her eyes shone. She had never doubted. Looking up at me, she said, "Can I go over with you, Mummy, and give this doll to that little girl so she knows that Jesus really loves her?" That parcel had been on its way for 5 whole months, packed by my former Sunday school class, whose leader had heard and obeyed God's prompting to send a hot water bottle even to the equator. And one of the girls had put in a doll for an African child 5 months earlier in answer to a believing prayer of a 10-year-old girl. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, it says, "And it shall come to pass that they, before they will call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." My friends, what do you say after a true story like that? Except to say that in the birth of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus, we see all the promises of God fulfilled. God knew all that we would need, from hot water bottles to tiny babies in Africa to the particular issues that each and every one of us are struggling at this moment. In Jesus, we find the answer to all that ails us, all that confuses us, all that causes us distress. You know, you might not be ready for it today, but God in Jesus has been planning for you and for this moment since time began. How you respond to God's work is always up to you. God is gracious like that. He doesn't force you, but he calls you and he offers you opportunity after opportunity. God always gives us a choice. Maybe it's time today for you to choose God, to choose the God who's revealed in the face of Jesus, who wants you to walk into a future that is already prepared for you. Let me say a prayer. Almighty God, we praise you and thank you. You are just so incredibly good to us. Your mercies go new to us every morning. And we thank you for the stories that remind us of your faithfulness, ancient stories and far more modern stories. We know that that could be true also in our lives too. And I pray for my brothers and sisters gathered here this morning, for those whom they love and who care for, those who are hurting and sad, those who are struggling, those who don't know which way to turn. Lord, open up their eyes to see you, to see your face, Jesus, and to know whom sent you, to resonate with you, to walk in your way, the way which you've already prepared. Speak to us this Christmas, Lord Jesus. Don't let us get lost in all that happens, but may we see you clearly, and respond to you accordingly. In your name we pray. Amen.